Action Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh, my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Mr. Stuvey, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress.
This is Wretched Radio, and that is a 7-second description that summarizes the whole shebang of the new world that you are living in, Christian. Oh, for the good old days when we lived in a post-Christian world. Do you remember when it was fun to live in a post-truth society? We are now dwelling in a post-reality realm. Romans 1 describes what happens to a nation that abandons God. It is a descent. Down, down, down it goes, becoming further removed from God, further removed from truth, and thus further removed from reality. And if you have ever wanted to hear a pithy summary of why it is we are experiencing what we are seeing in our culture, then you can thank Jerry Nadler, congressman who also heads up the Judiciary Committee, no small assignment, in debating something called the Equality Act. I believe that Jerry Nadler described well what is going on in our world. We do not care what God thinks. We have no desire to hear his opinion.
What any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress.
Thank you, sir. That was plenty pithy. He was responding to a congressman from Florida who had the audacity to quote the Bible.
It's not clothing or personal style that offends God, but rather the use of one's appearance to act out or take on a sexual identity different from the one biologically assigned by God at birth. In his wisdom, God intentionally made each individual uniquely either male or female. When men or women claim to be able to choose their own sexual identity, they are making a statement that God did not know what he was doing when he created them. I'm going to quote directly from Dr. Tony Evans' commentary Bible on this passage of Scripture. Men and women equally share in bearing the image of God, but he has designed them to be distinct from and complementary toward one another. The gender confusion that exists in our culture today is a clear rejection of God's good design. Whenever a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation is in rebellion against him and will inevitably bear the consequences. And I think we are seeing the consequences of rejecting God here in our country today. And this bill speaks directly against what is laid out in Scripture. Our government, through this bill, is going to redefine what a woman is and what a man is. It can be anyone who identifies in that gender.
Here it comes.
Mr. Stuvey, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress.
It doesn't matter if Jerry Nadler claims to be religious or not. The point is, he is clearly expressing what you and I are experiencing. We live in a society and leadership predominantly has no concern about what God thinks. No concern about what the Bible says. And so it is, we are experiencing the consequences of godlessness. You and I are watching it happen right in front of us. Now, we need to recognize that what has been going on in the culture, it didn't happen. This didn't take place overnight. This has been building and building and building and building. But now, with this particular election, with a particular people in power, it is clear the legislation that we want to pass and impose on people has nothing to do with God. The Equality Act is something that you should be aware of because it will smear you. If you recall, when Obergefell was passed, there was a question that was posed to the attorneys that were representing the new definition of marriage. How is this going to affect religious people? And the response was, well, we're just going to have to figure this out. Let that be noted well. Whenever you hear a response like that, that means we definitely know where this is going. We just don't want to tell you. This particular piece of legislation, which was passed by the House last Thursday, it is starting to define how religious organizations, churches, adoption agencies, Christians who run businesses are going to be able to hire, fire, dare I say, discriminate. Oh, that word. I know it's treated as a four-letter filth word these days, but we do have the right in some regards in this country to discriminate. Now, people also have the right to respond to that, but you and I discriminate all day, every day with what we watch, what we wear, where we go, what we where we shop. Those are all discriminations. And we also, by the way, see that happening from liberal people in their hiring practices. They don't want to bring people into their liberal organizations who are Bible thumpers. But we have had legal protections to date that religious people could discriminate regarding certain issues if it went against their religious sensibilities. The Equality Act, it appears, will at the very least threaten that. This has everything to do with transgender people, sexuality, bathrooms, athletics, hiring practices, and people fear already, because we've seen this slope slip before, they're very concerned that this will eliminate free speech to boot, that your religious organization can't even say anything critical about somebody with whom they disagree regarding gender or sexuality issues. That is the Equality Act, and you should know that if it goes to the Senate and passes, our current president said he's going to sign this piece of legislation. It's a 500-plus page bill. It passed along party lines, wouldn't you know it? It is the Gender and Identity and Sexual Orientation addition to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which protected people of different skin colors, minorities, from being discriminated against. Now we want to add sexual orientation and gender identity, stripping away religious liberty as it does so. Even something called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which President Bill Clinton signed. It's going to be challenged at the least, removed at the worst. Far-reaching because it redefines public accommodation to include any establishment that provides a service, including churches, shelters, operated by religious groups, faith-based adoption agencies, educational institutions that are associated with religious denominations and associations. In what way, you ask? Who you hire? Who you allow to attend your classes? Who you let use bathrooms? Locker room facilities, and by the way, it's not just colleges, it's high schools to boot. It's bathrooms at your establishments. It's bathrooms inside of your churches. It is perhaps even who you allow to become a pastor or an elder. That is the Equality Act. That is what was being debated. Greg Stubbe from Florida had the audacity to bring the Bible to bear, and Jerry Nadler shot that down, stating, "We don't care what religion teaches. We don't care what God says. We are a thoroughly secular organization." And so it is, I think, that he pithily summarized where we are at today, raising a question: how do we live in a world where it is clearly stated God is not wanted, and if you are affiliated with him, we don't want you either, because it sure does sniff an awful lot like some of the odour that we have experienced around the globe for centuries as Christians. This is nothing new. You and I are just starting to see what it feels like to live in a post-Christian, post-truth, and now a post-reality society. This is going to come knocking on the church's door. This is going to potentially come knocking on the Christian's door, literally, at your house. if you are teaching your children that there is any difference between boys and girls and that there aren't 174 different genders, and if you say a particular proclivity is a sinful lifestyle, then guess what? You're afoul of the law also. That is where it appears we are headed. When? Well, it appears that the pedal is put down to the floor right now. And if the Equality Act passes the Senate and is signed by the president, we're going to be living in a whole new world, Christian. I don't want to be hyperbolic on it, this, but it sure seems this is the one that we've been fearing. Now, how it plays out, challenged in the courts for whatever that's worth these days, nobody knows. Are there some people who are concerned about these things who aren't even religious? Yeah, there are a few, but they are far between. They're not dominating the voice of the left. And so now it seems that you and I need to take very seriously what Peter has prescribed for Christians when it comes to the issue of persecution. And there is a very, very good chance, Christian, the main thing perhaps that you and I are supposed to be preparing, you have been ignoring. What is that thing? Next on Wretched Radio. So, you're one of them there Christians that wants a lot of bang for your giving buck. I concur completely, and that is why I would like to commend to you the Masters Academy International. If you would like to see your giving go a long way, the Masters Academy is the vehicle that will make sure your dollar goes very, very far. They train indigenous pastors in 16 countries around the globe to rightly pastor and to rightly preach the Word of God for years, for decades. Consider the fruit that will be born from training a pastor to rightly divide the Word of truth. If you would like to get a lot of bang for your giving buck, please learn more about the Masters Academy International. Pick a country that's near and dear to your heart and give with confidence. Wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for being here and listening to Wretched Radio today. We are always so grateful when you share your wretched stories with us, or your comments, your questions, your conundrums, and your snarks. And there's two easy ways to always share with us. First, you can email Wretched at idea@wretched.org, or you can leave us a voicemail on Beep Talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. Either way, we love hearing from you. Just like this story we recently received from Callie, who says, "Hey Todd, we're so thankful for your ministry. You continue to bless our family with sound content and counseling, and we've been supporting y'all since 2010. We trust you and your counsel." Well, thank you so much, Callie. Send us more of your wretched stories, comments, questions, and conundrums and snarks at idea@wretched.org or by calling Beep Talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. idea@wretched.org or 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Chocale. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
You have never been to Romania. Permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Know your reformers.
Martin Luther was a German monk and professor who was plagued with doubt about his salvation. When he finally read the Bible for himself, he rediscovered the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. His bold witness for biblical truth was the spark that ignited the Protestant Reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And in the meantime, in the United States Senate, this is Wretched Radio. The world, it is changing. Really, really fast. We are not just a post-Christian, a post-truth society. We're detached from reality. That is the world that God has planted you in, Christian. You are here at this time for a reason. The question is, will we respond to God's determining that we are here for a reason in this season? Or will we respond wrongly and miss an opportunity? How do I know we're living in a post-reality world? Well, over in the Congress, in the House of Representatives, Representative Jerry Nadler made it very clear. Doesn't matter what God thinks. Doesn't matter what religion teaches on these issues.
Mr. Stuvey, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate the transparency. Over in the Senate, Rand Paul, who was interviewing, I don't know why we do this anymore, frankly, but nevertheless, he was interviewing the fellow who is believing himself to be a woman, who is trying to be in the, he's an associate, he's not the leader of the Health and Human Services, but to suggest that he won't have any impact is not very attached to reality either. This fellow was being interviewed by Rand Paul. Listen very, very carefully to his response, and you are going to see another example of the world that we are living in. Consider, now this is getting old hat to you and me, consider the conversation that is taking place.
American culture is now normalizing the idea that minors can be given hormones to prevent their biological development of their secondary sexual characteristics. Dr. Levine, you have supported both allowing minors to be given hormone blockers to prevent them from going through puberty, as well as surgical destruction of a minor's genitalia. Like surgical mutilation, hormonal interruption of puberty can permanently alter and prevent secondary sexual characteristics. The American College of Pediatricians reports that 80 to 95% of prepubertal children with gender dysphoria will experience resolution by late adolescence if not exposed to medical intervention and social affirmation. Dr. Levine, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex?
Well, Senator, thank you for your interest in this question. Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with robust research and standards of care that have been developed. And if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed as the Assistant Secretary of Health, I will look forward to working with you and your office and coming to your office and discussing the particulars of the standards of care for transgender medicine.
In other words, not telling, because I know the answer. And it's not the one that you would like, and it could get me in hot water, at least tepid water. Therefore, I'm going to give a canned response and not tell you that, yes, I am all for children making decisions to mutilate their bodies. They can't change their gender. They can only mutilate their bodies. That happened at a hearing in the U.S. Senate. That is why I believe we're not living in a post-Christian or a post-truth world. We're detached from reality. This is absolute insanity at the highest levels. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Rand Paul pressed again, got the exact same response, and then at the very end, by the way, was chided by a senator. I'm gonna fast forward so you don't have to endure all of this, but Rand Paul continued to press.
This is a very complex identity issue. What I'm alarmed at is that you're not willing to say absolutely minors shouldn't be making decisions to amputate their breast or to amputate their genitalia. for most of our history, we believe that minors don't have full rights and the parents need to be involved. So I'm alarmed that you won't say with certainty that minors should not have the ability to make the decision to take hormones that will affect them for the rest of their life. Will you make a more firm decision on whether or not minors should be involved in these decisions?
Senator, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced...
No, by the way, I this isn't an error. This is a different response than the first response, although it sounds exactly the same because it is.
Field, and if confirmed to the position of Assistant Secretary of Health, I would certainly be pleased to come to your office and talk with you and your staff about the standards of care and the complexity of this field.
Let it go into the record that the witness refused to answer the question.
Okay, you got this. This is just whipped cream with a cherry on top. I don't know the name of this senator. Apparently, she's running the hearing. Now, please note, Rand Paul just said we used to believe that families and parents would be involved in making decisions for their children because they do not have full rights because they're not capable of making those decisions. But you, Undersecretary, a man who believes that he's a woman, that you want to actually have the government pay for that to take place for children if they make the decision, even if it's contrary to what their parents want. That's what we used to think like in this old school that is now being derided and considered not on the right side of history. We used to think that way, and now you're saying something completely different. Enter another senator who's running the hearing. Who is going to get scolded? The senator for asking, I thought the tone was rather pleasant, not confrontational, or the doctor who did chin boogie and wouldn't answer the question. Will you be surprised?
I turn it over to Senator Murphy. I do want to say, Dr. Levine, I wanted to say I appreciated your thoughtful and medically informed response to Senator Paul's questions earlier in the hearing. It is really critical to me that our nominees be treated with respect.
I don't know if you've seen any of the hearings that took place for conservative people or potentially conservative judges on the Supreme Court. Wow, I wish they'd been afforded that respect.
That our nominees be treated with respect.
Yeah, sure.
And that our questions focus on their qualifications and the work of us rather than on ideological and harmful misrepresentations like those we heard from Senator Paul earlier. And I will focus on that as chair of this committee. So thank you again for your response.
Thank you to the person who didn't answer the question, who said, I want the government to pay for children to mutilate their bodies, inject hormones into their systems without parental permission. And as far as the senator goes, who had the audacity to ask about his position on this, shame on you. That's at the highest levels of government. And if we do not believe that this is going to trickle downhill, then we are naive. At best, question. Have you considered what you could be doing to prepare for what might be coming our way? If this steamroller keeps on rolling, do you realize that you will not escape its path as a believer? Now, if you try to do chin boogie, quite honestly, those Christians, they think that they're gonna dodge a bullet. They won't. They won't, because it's not good enough. Ask Max Lucado. It's not good enough to apologize. It's you just identify in any way, shape, or form with Jesus Christ, even if you're a rank heretic. Doesn't matter. You will be caught in this wake. What might you be doing to get ready? Now, some people would tell you potable water, land in Montana, and make sure that you've got a lot of gold. Well, you can listen to their advice all you choose. I would like to focus on something that you could start working on today. Something that could actually help you and your family in the future if Christians are labeled as being terrorists, which really is what we're potentially looking at, that we are undermining this new world order and it simply cannot be tolerated. Are you a member of a local church? Are you diving in, digging in to your local church? Are you participating in your local church, serving in your local church? Are you developing friendships with fellow believers that you are likely to need? You're going to need them. If we become the pariahs that it appears that we could quickly become, you probably aren't going to be invited to a whole lot of things, a lot of social activities in your neighborhood, or potentially even your office. Are you working on your relationships, your commitment to, your participation in the local church? I'm truly not trying to scaremonger. I'm not prepared to move to New Zealand. But I do think that we would be wise, and I think the evidence is plentiful, that the attitude at the highest levels of government is anti-God. It's anti-truth, and it's anti-reality. And it's hard to imagine that we won't feel this in some way, shape, or form. So might I encourage you to turn your attention to being engaged, serving, contributing to, developing relationships in your local church, because it sure does appear we're going to need it. And besides that, brothers and sisters, that's what we're supposed to be doing. This is Wretched Radio.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously, knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Like a blind knife that finds a squirrel in the shed twice a day, it's Bill Maher. This is Wretched Radio. Occasionally, Bill Maher, in fact, increasingly these days, which, quite honestly, kind of hurts my heart a little bit. Increasingly, Bill Maher, Mr. Politically Incorrect, host of HBO's Real Time program, is talking like, oh, I don't know, Tucker Carlson. He actually said so the other day. He was interviewing Megyn Kelly. She was expressing her concern about what's going on in government schools, both public and private schools in New York. And Bill Maher was actually jumping in on our side saying, you know what, this should not be going on. We shouldn't be indoctrinating children like this. Yikes. My people, the left, have gone so far, he said, they're making me talk like Tucker Carlson. What a world we're living in when Bill Maher sounds like Tucker Carlson. And so it was this last week in doing a monologue. Bill Maher identified rightly a problem that is going on in our society. And I applaud him for that. But please listen for the remedy. That's where I think he's falling a bit short. The subject was cancel culture. Bill Maher, very concerned about it. And he even recognizes that it's the people on his side of the aisle that are promoting cancel culture.
Cancel culture is real, it's insane, and it's growing exponentially, and it's coming to a neighborhood near you.
That is shocking, isn't it? He's right. Cancel culture is predominantly, although not exclusively, coming from the left. We need to be careful, by the way, that we don't play the same game, because here's where the game gets a little tricky. You don't think you're canceling somebody when you're right. And of course you think you're right, and therefore it's justified. Gotta watch out for that. There's a time when it can be appropriate depending on the issue and time when it's not. Bill Maher is talking about the preposterous canceling that is going on over just about everything. Don't panic. We did the beeping so that you don't have to.
If you think it's just for celebrities, no. In an era where everyone is online, everyone is a public figure. It's like we're all trapped in the hills have eyes and Wi-Fi. Take Mr. Emmanuel Cafferty. He was a San Diego gas and electric worker, but he got fired because someone reported him making a white supremacist hand gesture outside the window of his truck. But he's not a white supremacist, he's Latino. And he wasn't making a hand gesture, He's probably just flicking a booger.
Sorry.
Is this really who we want to become? A society of phony, clenched avatars, walking on eggshells, always looking over your shoulder about getting ratted out for something that actually has nothing to do with your character or morals? Think about everything you've ever texted, emailed, searched for, tweeted, blogged, or said in passing, or now, even, just witnessed. Someone had a Confederate flag in their dorm room in 1990 and you didn't do anything?
That's pretty amazing. Bill Maher, who does not ascribe to any sort of belief in God, recognizing a big problem. Cancel culture. Now, here's where it gets really rather complicated. Did we used to cancel? Depending, of course, on how you define canceling. Were there things historically in our culture that we said, no, can't say that, can't do that? And the answer is absolutely there are. There are things, there are values, there are morals, there are different things that you can't say, you can't write about, you can't print. Those rules actually were in place, even with free speech, freedom of religion. Why? And what's the difference? There is a big difference because from what was happening then and what is happening today. Sort of. Because the same result is taking place. That our culture, in some way, shape, or form, are saying that there are certain values and certain behaviors that cannot be tolerated. That's what cancel culture is. The difference is who is writing the rules. And this is where we need to be really, really careful. If you and I engage into the public forum trying to say cancel culture is all bad, they're going to respond and say, well, don't you want to do the same thing? Don't you want certain behaviors to be against public norm, maybe even against the law? Do you still want those swear rules for primetime TV? You're canceling too. What's the difference? And I think it's a two-word answer. It's a question, and it is one that has been asked from the beginning, in the garden. You're hearing Bill Maher trip onto a truth. Now, his ability to determine how we fix this cancel culture problem, I don't think that he's going to begin scratching the surface in this monologue. I'm glad he's asking the questions. I'm glad he's opposed to it. But until we get to asking a bigger two-word question, I don't know how the only way that this is going to sift out is that the person in power or the people in power are going to define our culture's rules and then cancel based on what they believe is right and wrong. And that's why the question that needs to be asked, Bill, to you, to Megyn Kelly, to Jerry Nadler, to the Christian, says who? Says who? There are certain laws that are ultimately going to be very moral. They are going to be in the bullseye of morality. I'm not talking about speeding, electricity codes. I'm talking about morality issues, definition of marriage, who can use a public restroom. These are issues that are not a scientific issue per se. These are moral issues. And right now, because it appears, whether it's true or not, it appears that godless people on the left are in power. They're saying, here's the new morality. You can't think this. You can't say this. You can't discriminate like this if you're a religious person. Why? Because they're writing the rules. Who used to write the rules in our culture? Well, hopefully, when it came to moral issues, we would try to become informed by a higher power. We would look to our Bibles. I'm not talking about exclusively, of course, but you had religious people, Christian people, who would use their Christian worldview to make some common sense rules to protect our society, sometimes even from itself. And so they want to get rid of all of that, but what are they doing? They're replacing it with their morality. And that's what we're experiencing today. You used to cancel us, now we're canceling you. Why? because we can. Furthermore, we believe that your Christian morality is so abhorrent, it has no place in the public forum. It cannot be discussed. You cannot question. You cannot challenge. We will not have debates. You're that out of touch with the times. And our response should be, says who? And that is why we're going to have to watch this rodeo play itself out. Because I don't think Bill Maher is actually going to answer these questions. I don't think he's going to be able to get to where it needs to go. We're going to have a vying in our culture for morality, the new morality. And I fear that we are not going to be as Christian as we need to be in our response to a culture that wants to cancel us. Because when they're in power, they're going to do it. And one court case after another, the equality law, a Supreme Court ruling, you name it, increasingly we will be marginalized. And Bill Maher doesn't like it because he doesn't think it's fair. Maybe it's self-interest because he realizes that he could be canceled next because they'll cancel anybody who does not align totally with their new worldview, which is why we can go into the arena of debate and we're going to be banging our heads. Furthermore, we're probably not going to come out on the long end of the stick very often because they're in power. I think the question that we need to be asking these people is, where do you get this from? Where this new morality of yours, gender and sexuality issues, values, family definitions, marriage? And their response is going to be, well, we say. And that's where we're at. And so that leads the Christian, if he's going to continue thinking, to pursue that. So if I ask a godless world, where are you coming up with your rules, says who, and the answer is we says, how am I going to persuade them that God's way of thinking is better than their way of thinking? And the answer is I'm not. And so I can cite a scientific poll, and pornography is a health issue. They'll find another poll that says it's not. It actually helps marriages or some ridiculous study. And we'll lose. What does it take to get somebody who thinks so poorly to start thinking rightly? And it's not just by introducing them to right teaching. It is introducing them to God himself, that God would regenerate the person, save that person, and then fix their thinking. And so if you don't like what's going on in our cancel culture, and you think that this is bad for Christianity, might I suggest we respond to it the way that we've been supposed to respond all along? Preach the gospel. This is Wretched Radio. Numbers. Who doesn't love numbers? Okay, I don't, and maybe you don't either, but you are going to be thrilled at these statistics from preborn.org. Since 2007, there have been over 500,000 pregnancy tests. Whoa. 42,000 women have professed faith in Jesus Christ, and over 123,000 babies' lives were saved. You can have a direct impact on the battle for life in a country that is increasingly opposed to life. While the government is busy trying to take the lives of more children, you and I can be saving babies and saving mommies because Preborn, they provide free ultrasounds, and they also preach the gospel. Babies get saved and so do mommies. Would you please help grow these numbers by supporting Preborn? You can do that at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Well, you know the old saying about men not stopping to ask for directions or men not really asking for help from anybody in general. Well, as a man, there's some truth in that. But let me also break down all those barriers right now by asking for your help. Not with directions, but with Wretched. See, we can't do what we do at Wretched without the help and support of God's people just like you. 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry. history. Now, that's not us bragging. That's an ECFA fact, because we're ECFA approved. Check for yourself. And from one man to all of you, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a Wretched Gospel partner today? All you have to do is visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321.
Yes, you're busy, but I suspect you could spare 2 minutes if it saved you $500 a month. Please call MediShare for 120 seconds. They will give you a quote on affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to health insurance. You get free telehealth services, a huge network of doctors, customer support, people praying for you, and 400,000 members sharing one another's health burdens. That is what MediShare is about, and on average, you will save, whether you are a single or a family, $500 per month. It will take you 2 minutes to make a phone call and find out how you could be saving and have peace of mind. Got 2 minutes? Call 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Books of the Bible. Zechariah was a prophet who preached God's judgment, repentance, and the promise of salvation to the Jews returning from exile. He relays a series of apocalyptic visions, focusing on the coming of Christ, the final salvation of God's people, and the final judgment upon sinners. Remember that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
When Bill Maher is concerned about an issue we're concerned about, we better be concerned. This is Wretched Radio. Bill Maher, I'm not a believer in any deity to the best of my knowledge, in hosting his HBO real-time program, very, very concerned about the cancel culture.
Andy Warhol was wrong. In the future, everyone will not experience 15 minutes of fame, but 15 minutes of shame. And 62% of Americans say they have opinions they're afraid to share.
That is telling. 62% of Americans, they think the way that people used to think, but now they're downright scared to express them. Why? Because we're living in a cancel culture. If you express the wrong values, you are shamed. You are doxed. I'm not exactly sure what that means. You're canceled. You're mocked. You're set aside. You lose your job. And we are the ones who are going to experience it the most. Why? Because we are not in alignment with the new morality. And that is why you and I really would do well to think this through very, very carefully while we still can speak at all. Bill Maher is right that this isn't just a ripple hitting the American shore. This is a tidal wave. And it's been rippling, it's been building now for decades. There's a new sheriff in town, and they want nothing to do with God. And so all of the power centers, it's not just government, it's education, it's business, it's big tech, it's entertainment, all of it are telling you that if you do not align with the new morality, you're out of here. Now, we know the solution to this, we think. Ah, Bill, what you need to really grasp is freedom of speech. That people need to have the ability to say whatever they want to, right? And that's true. But the problem is, without God, that you can't even find common ground in that. I think I maybe said this 3 years ago. This is the way I think that we can at least get our brains around the cancel culture world that we're living in. When you as a Christian see an unbeliever do something that you think isn't biblical, to varying degrees, you're going to call it a sin. You might say it's shameful. You might ramp it up even further. Oh, that's wicked behavior. Oh, that's just abominable behavior. Depending, of course, on what it is. Now, the people who are currently in power, if you will, they do not believe in God. They do not believe that the Bible is the guidebook for life. They are writing their own rules, believing that they and science, when it's convenient, are the ones who know best. And they've come up with a brand new morality. And the new morality means that a man can believe that he's a woman. Children can be aided in mutilating their bodies because they have to have that right. And parents, you know, are so terrible that they shouldn't even be involved in that conversation. They believe that those things are good and right and correct. You come along and say, no, they're not. And they think that you're abominable. Think of it, let me just, without trying to be insensitive, you would hear about a man who is a rapist or a child molester, and you would go, whoa, that's wicked. To the godless liberal, they hear, you're a Christian who doesn't believe that a child should be able to express themselves by getting mutilated. Whoa, that's wicked. The way you see a child molester, they see you for not wanting to let children mutilate their bodies. That's the world we live in. That's where we are right now. And that is why, even if you appeal to your First Amendment rights, your Second Amendment rights, not going to make any difference. Because we do not have a basis for determining what any of these things really even are. We would say, well, do you want somebody to be giving speeches on how to molest children? And we go, well, of course not. That's evil. That's right. And we believe you talking about children not being able to change their bodies is evil. Okay. All right. So I guess we can't appeal to free speech, can we? Why? Because we are godless. And without any semblance of a basis for what is moral, what is right, what is good, what is evil, then we are going to continue living in a cancel culture. And even Bill Maher sees how awful that is.
80% of Americans, young, old, rich, poor, conservative, liberal, white, minority, all hate the current atmosphere of hypersensitivity.
How do you fix it? How do you change? That's the question. Have you pondered it? I haven't heard anybody really offer anything that was potentially potent, let alone biblical. What do we do? Start mocking them. No, they mock us. Well, no, we're going to mock you back. You say science, we say science. None of it is going to work. This is the fruit of a godless root. That is what we are experiencing. And believe me, nobody is exempt from this. When I was out at the campus last week at Kennesaw State, it was fascinating. When I was talking to a student about masks, I said, would you feel comfortable as we sit on this bench? We're outside. Would you mind taking off your mask? And he goes, no, not a problem, man. I don't have any problem. I'm not like that. And I said, okay, cool. Thank you. And he goes, go along to get along. Go along to get along. And that's it. That's what's happening. 80% doesn't like it, but you're going along to get along. I believe the message of last summer was heard loud and clear. You disagree, you'll be hurt. In one way, shape, or form. You'll be canceled, property, whatever. You'll be hurt. Your job, your career. And it's working. It's effective. What are we going to do about it? Huh? How do you fix a problem that even Bill Maher recognizes?
Yeah, everybody hates it, and no one stands up to it.
Okay, we need to stand up to it. Enough of this. Okay, is that the Christian response? Besides, I'm weary from that narrative, aren't you? Go ahead, tune in to a conservative talk show, and should they be talking about this subject, they'll get you whipped up into a frenzy. Yeah, these people, and they're trying to control you. Yeah, they are. These people are taking away your rights. Yeah, they are. They're going to take away your guns next. Yeah, they're going to. We've got to stop this. Yeah, how do we do that? How do you fix this? We're living not just in a post-Christian or a post-truth world. This is post-reality we're living in. Their feet aren't even on the ground. I know they're in the White House. I know they're in the State Department. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That's who you're talking to. They're nice people. We can love these people. But they're detached from reality. And we can't correct this. And while we still have the time to say anything, might I suggest we deal with the actual problem? You can look at instance after instance of how preposterous this is, and it can make our head explode. It's making Bill Maher's head explode.
Because it's always the safe thing to swallow what you really think and just join the mob. So if someone asks you if Justin Timberlake owes Britney Spears an apology for not being a perfect boyfriend when they were teenagers, just say yes.
So Justin Timberlake just got threatened to be canceled. She admitted that he was not a gentleman when they were teenagers. There's a shock. And he was threatened with canceling. So what does he have to do? Mea culpa. Oh, I was terrible. I can't believe what a pagan teenager I was and that I would do such a thing. And I am horribly sorry, and I did not realize how I was abusing women. Please have mercy on me so that you don't cancel me and buy my next records, please. Justin Timberlake. You think that Justin is going to be able to... Do you think Bill Maher is going to say something and suddenly people are going to go, you know what, that's right, that's just a... We've got to get back to the good old days where freedom of speech and we recognize that people can say what they want even if it offends somebody, because after all, that's why we need free speech laws, because sometimes it can hurt, sometimes it can be painful. It's not going to get the job done when you are living in a post-God, post-truth, post-reality world. We all know Tocqueville was the one who identified in the early 19th century this form of government, this way of living with liberty, genuine liberty and privileges. It cannot endure in a godless nation. Well, guess what, Tocqueville? You were right, because we're here and we're feeling it. And unless Christians, we really wake up, and as we're smelling our coffee and drinking it over our private quiet time, we need to be asking ourselves the biblical question. What are we supposed to be doing? I think that there are some practical things you can do. You better get your family a member of a local church. You're going to need one another probably real fast. But then if we want to see this stop in our culture, it will not stop until people's believing is better. Not their thinking. Their believing is better, and that only comes through one mechanism, the preaching of the gospel. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.